Blog Talk Radio.
Dollar, dollar, lawyer, yes, your honor. Yeah.
Let's get it. We hit the strip, boulevard. With them Bibles, we be going hard. Nothing but the King James. Nothing but the King James. Zechariah chapter 2, verse 6 and 7. Flee Babylon is about to rain. Fire from the heavens, rain. Fire from the heavens, rain. Fire from the heavens. Jeremiah 50, verse 29. They gon' let them fly. But after scriptures, Revelation 18, verse 1 through 18, come out and hurt my people, that's the mouth of the Most High. Zechariah 2, verse 6 and 7, said the Most High. They want me to stop, but I gotta go blow the trumpet, say the Most High. Ezekiel 33, verse 1 through 9, for the watchman, God don't want a people, cause the transatlantic slave trade about to have a sequel. Zechariah 14, verse 1 through 3, they about to come against us. The house is right for the woman, right? Half of the city took a fourth into captivity. And the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Jacob's trouble, after my shalom, they gon' kick a dog. Second Ezra 16 and 31. We think the higher that he sent his son Isaiah. Second Ezra 2 and 43, we gon' see Zion. We hit the strip, boulevard. With them Bibles, we be going hard. Nothing but the King James. Nothing but the King James. Zechariah chapter 2, verse 7. Leave Babylon is about to rain. Fire from the heavens, rain. Fire from the heavens, rain. Fire from the heavens. Jeremiah 50, verse 29. They gon' let them fly.
You know, that's all over the news. You see it on the TV and on the internet. That's all y'all do. But this was already written. Matthew 24 and 6. What Shia said. About they future battle with Babylon, Isaiah 13. See, that's the Bible, the Hebrew book of prophecy. The slave trade, 28 chapter Deuteronomy. We gotta put the Most High law, Tanakh, Torah, Genesis 1924, Sodom, Gomorrah. The Most High shall rain fire, Jeremiah chapter 50, verse 14. All the nations in array against the queen, yes, America. The scriptures call her Babylon. Revelation 18 and faith on the Most High God who judges her. But first, y'all gonna see some soldiers in the streets. Zechariah 14, 12, Isaiah 15, 4 and 16.
Oh, nigga, we hit the strip, a still of hard. With them Bibles, we be going hard. Nothing but the King James. Nothing but the King James. Zechariah chapter 2, verse 57. Flee Babylon is about to rain. Fire from the heavens, rain. Fire from the heavens, rain. Fire from the heavens. Jeremiah 50, verse 29. They gon' let them fly.
So you got all these countries with nuclear bombs all over the earth that have allegiances with each other and alliances aligned against each other. So when one bomb is pushed, it's going to be a field day. You read 2nd Ezra, the 15th chapter and the 16th chapter, and it lets you know it's going to be one cloud, then another cloud, then another cloud. So when you're looking at it from us, from the Most High's vision, he's seeing certain places destroyed and nuclear clouds coming up. Boom, boom, boom. Then it says one star will go towards Babylon to make her desolate. So it's going to start over the Middle East, and it's going to make its way to America. Boom. Now we got a little time before that happens, but we're close. First, there must be that falling away first. And that's what's about to happen right now with the evacuation in the United States. This world will never be the same. If you haven't gotten anything from this world, don't look to get anything from it. It's over. It's finished.
Sourdough lawyer on the beat.
And guess what? There's no feel-good story anyone can give you. Or no temporary relief. The only relief that we have at the end of this is that if we serve the Most High, Christ will give us rest. That's our only relief. We must look to our relief from the other side and just deal with survival day by day. We have to stop dealing with the things and talking about the things that divide us and come together for self-preservation in the spirit of the Most High. That's how we're going to make it through this. The Lord says a nation divided against itself cannot stand. That's another reason why we're not going to be dealing with madness anymore and back and forth anymore. If you don't believe what we believe, that's fine. If you believe you should live, so do we. Can we agree on that?
Shalom, brothers and sisters out there. We're back. You're tuned in to the Lion's Den with Warriors in Christ. I'm your host, Brother Yohana Dunn, alongside with the Brother Dwayne.
Shalom.
Brother Dwayne, yeah. Shalom, brother. As usual, we're bringing another study out there to, highlight certain things of the Bible that, often get overlooked and a lot of times aren't talked about. Before we get started, I want to say Ahaya Bahashem Yeshaya, Baraka Thumb, Barbara Walk. Let's bless you all in the name of the Most High Christ and the Holy Spirit. And we're going to bring forth the study today, Sisters of the Bible. Anything you want to say, brother, before I get into the seven overcomes?
I'd like to say our praises to Ahaya Bahashem Yeshaya Wawa Walk. Thank the Father for another chance to be on the radio show to, try to alarm the people, try to do some work for the Most High. So, with that said, do your thing, brother.
All right. As usual, we always start our show. For those who don't know, might be tuning in for the first time, we go into the seven overcomes written of in Revelations, in which the Messiah, Christ, Yeshaya, said that, those who endure to the end and overcome, these things, shall be given to you if you deem righteous, and if you're deemed righteous in the eyes of the Most High. So without further ado, I'm going to get into the seven overcomes in Revelation, starting with Revelation chapter 2. Verse 7. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Revelation chapter 2, verse 11. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be heard of the second death. Revelation chapter 2, verse 17. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. Revelation chapter 2, verse 26. And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. Revelation chapter 3, verse 5. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Revelation chapter 3, verse 12. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he will, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. Revelation chapter 3, verse 21. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am sat down with my Father in his throne. So that concludes my seven of the combs. And like I was saying before I started reading, these are things that Christ speaks of will be given to him that overcomes and endures until the end, and are deemed righteous in the eyes of the Most High. So.
Yeshai is coming.
I was born in Brooklyn in a tenement, and on the streets of Brooklyn I've been running ever since. It's been a long time coming, and I know it will grow, a change gonna come, yeah. It's been too hard living, but I'm not afraid to die, yeah. I know what awaits me beyond the sky. People say that Jesus is coming soon, but Yeshua is his name. It's been a long, long, a long time coming, and I know a change gonna come. Yes, it will. I used to ask my mama, why do we suffer so? She said, baby, I can't tell you why, but I'm
we're back. We tuned in to the Lion's Den with Warriors in Christ. Right, bro.
All right. Tonight is Sisters of the Bible. We're going to go in and reflect on the women who are written of in the scriptures, and we're going to, basically do all the songs tonight going to be women. So that sister came through. And that sister, she was sounding real good, and we waiting for that change because we knew that change was going to come. And like she said, they said his name Jesus, but Yeshua is his name. So with that being said, I'm going to do my seven overcomes. And our seven overcomes is because when we come to this truth, there'll be a lot of obstacles, a lot of different things be thrown in front of you. You know what I'm saying? When you get in this truth, Satan ain't gonna stop. We're gonna come from people people come from all kind of different angles. But at the end of the day, You got to keep fighting. You know what I'm saying? Keep fighting. Because the Most High through Christ promised us these seven things if we overcome. So, with that being said, Revelation 2, verse 7. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. To him that overcome will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of the Most High power. Revelation 2, verse 11. He that have an ear, let him hear what the Spirit said unto the churches. He that overcome shall not be hurt of the second death. Revelation 2, verse 17. He that have an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. To him that overcome will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, save he that receiveth it. Revelation 2, verse 26. And he that overcome and keepeth my words unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. Revelation 3, verse 5. He that overcome, that same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Revelation 3, verse 12. He that overcome will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more, and he shall go no more out. And I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God. And I will write upon him my new name. Revelation 3, verse 21. To him that overcome will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame. And I am set down with my Father in his throne. So those are my seven overcomes. And the brother did his seven overcomes. And we as a unit trying to overcome. So all people who are like-minded, let's please come together and try to overcome.
I'm ready when I turn, hoping I see my family crash and shine. I have longed for thy salvation. our sin, a world of biblical law and justice, placed in our hearts to live. Peace, love, joy, and happiness exudes all around. It may sound profound, but being conscious every moment of a highest presence till the end, we will soon see a new world without sin. Call heaven the new kingdom. Kingdom.
All right, all right. Once again, you're tuned in to the Lion's Den, Warriors in Christ. That was a beautiful song right there. I'm going to get into the mission statement before we get into tonight's study, which is Sisters of the Bible. So one moment as I grab this mission statement, then you know what we're about. Okay. Warriors in Christ is about the truth 100%. We are doing the work to bring in the kingdom. Unity is our mission to see Zion. We have no respect of person, period. The truth stands. If you can't forgive and focus on building together, you're not in Christ. Shalom, Ahayah, Bahashem, Yeshaya, Wa, Dua. Just letting you guys out there know why we do this. That's the mission right there. So.
My name forever. This is You could go to YouTube.
and just put in actors in Egypt. And when you put in actors in Egypt, just listen. But the visual is going to shock you. You're going to actually see these same people who are supposed to be hurt, dead, afflicted. When you're watching the news, you're going to see these same people, but you're going to actually see them in the acting stage. So you could go to YouTube and put in actors in Egypt, and this is what you will hear. Roll that little bit for me.
All right.
This is Dabu 7. In this video here will be one of the most important pieces of work I've ever put out. There's not a lot to it, but simply exposing the hoax that is going on in Egypt and in Syria right before your very eyes. What you're about to see is probably going to make many of you sick. Hopefully this wakes up many, many people. Share this information with as many as you can, because what you're about to see are crisis actors, Muslim Brotherhood, and then you're going to see more from Syria. This is what Hollywood does. They call it Pollywood, the Palestinian Hollywood. Watch this. If this doesn't wake you people up, I don't know what will. Makes me sick. This is what they're selling to the Western world, folks. And now think to yourself, how many dead bodies have you seen? How many images of horror and torture? Yeah, think back, and think back how many of those were fake. ...100% fake. What do you people think now? Eyes open. I'll leave you with some paid crisis actors in Syria right now. Fake blood. Hey, peace, dude. Hurry up, lay back down so we can get some better shots. Share this information with as many people as you can. Wake as many people as you can up to this. This is a hoax that is going on worldwide, and they're doing this, selling this to the Western world to lie to the masses. This is the proof. Eyes open, folks. This has been Dabu 7. Peace.
All right. There you have it, Dabu 7. What would they look for on YouTube, brother, to find that exact? That's actually a video clip, but we just played the audio, of course, because we're on the air, we're on the radio. Let them know once again where they can find that information, brother.
Just when you go on YouTube, just put in actors in Egypt. It's just that simple. It's just that easy. Just put in actors in Egypt. And when you watch it, it's, when you watch the graphicness behind it, then you'll very much be able to understand exactly what the guy was seeing, what the guy was speaking about. He could actually see actors with fake blood on, walking around. Then when they see the camera on them, they'll play like they're laying down. And, you know, it's disturbing to a certain degree. It's disturbing because the brothers and sisters who believe everything on the news believe it. But it's not disturbing when you understand the scriptures. So the thing is, we need to wake as many people. Well, we can't wake as many people. What we can do is we can show them the footage, tell as many people we can. So with that being said, we're going to go into the word Pollywood. And the word Pollywood, P-A-L-L-Y-H-O-L-L-Y-W-O-O-D. It's easy to find. You put it inside the Google search engine, go in the search engine, you go to the Wikipedia. And let's go to the Wikipedia and read to these people what Pollywood is.
Okay, Pollywood, or Pollywood. It's spelled P-A-L-L-Y-W-O-O-D, Pollywood. Read the definition here. It says, a Palestinian in Hollywood. I guess it's just the word Palestinian and Hollywood put together. That's how they come up with Pollywood. Is a coinage that has been used by some pro-Israeli media watchdog advocates, among others, to describe alleged media manipulation, distortion, and outright fraud by the Palestinians and other Arabs, designed to win the public relations war against Israel. The incidents of the Muhammad al-Dara tapes and the 2006 Lebanon war photographs controversies dubbed Hezbollywood, are notable events which have been cited as examples.
Okay.
The term has been
now,
published. Okay.
Hold on one second.
Yeah.
The main thing we want, because this stuff is so high level, they have big words and everything, but you have to understand when you're reading it, the main piece, it says, describe alleged media manipulation, that means the media is manipulating the stories. They're manipulating and shape-shifting your thoughts. They lying to you. They're building a picture inside your head, and they happen to be building drama in your head. Media manipulation, distortion, and outright fraud. Go ahead, read, brother.
All right. The term has been publicized in part by Boston University professor Richard Landes as a result of an online documentary video he produced called Pollywood, according to the Palestinian sources, alleging specific instances of media manipulation.
Read that last piece again.
Okay. As a result of an online documentary video he produced called Pollywood, according to the Palestinian sources, alleging specific instances of media manipulation.
So it's specific instances of media manipulation. They know exactly what pieces to put in front of the camera in front of you. They put all the drama in front of you. And what you do, you sit there, you sad. They're playing with your emotions. It's no different from Sandy Hook. It's no different from the Batman shooting. All that stuff is staged. Now, let's go down and read a little bit more of this. But everybody, you need to go and do your own research. Pollywood. Spell it for them and tell them where they go to find this, where they could do their own research.
Okay, to get the in-depth definition of the term Pollywood or Pollywood, as it's pronounced, which is spelled P-A-L-L-Y-W-O-O-D, which is a combination of the word Palestinian and Hollywood that came up with Pollywood. We're on Wikipedia.org. A lot of people know about Wikipedia. Go on Wikipedia.org and type in P-A-L-L-Y-W-O-O-D to get the definition of the term Pollywood. Okay. Let me see.
And read this where it says Richard Land's video. Let's read some of his Pollywood, but read the second sentence, read the second the second, not the first sentence. I mean, read the second one where it said in his video out to the people.
Okay. Richard Land's video. I'm on the second paragraph of under Richard Land's video. Somebody's following with me on Wikipedia.org. It says, in his video, Landis shows Arab-Israeli conflict-related footage that was taken mostly by freelance Palestinian video journalists. He argues that systematic media manipulation, which he dubs Pallywood, dates back to at least the 1982 Lebanon War, and argues that broadcasters are too uncritical of the veracity of Palestinian freelance footage.
So this stuff dates all the way back to at least 1982. They've been doing this madness on TV for the longest. Every time America want to come up against a country, they got these paid actors, these Arabs or Palestinians or whatever they is. They on the payroll. Now, do your research, because we finna move on. Pallywood, look it up, go to Wikipedia, take your time and look into these things. Go to YouTube, put in actors in Egypt, watch these things, listen to these things, and do not be shaken when this stuff come on the news. Now, we're finna go to something else in the news, and we're finna go to something that's very horrific right now. We're finna go into the King Alpha's plan, and we're finna read to you what King Alpha has planned for Black Americans.
Okay, I'm there, brother. Tell me, do we just take off from the top or what? Brother,
okay.
Wayne, you hear me?
Yeah,
you want me to just start from the top or where you want me to start at with this? It's pretty lengthy. I don't know where you want me to go exactly on this. Anywhere particular?
Okay, this is what we're going to do. This is King's Alpha's plan. And this is a device plan that's been put together since the 1800s. This King Alpha lived in the 1800s. This is the same thing they did in Germany. When you see these people getting on the back of these trucks with the army, leading these people to these concentration camps, brothers and sisters, that was a test run for what they got planned for us. And we finna read these plans. Read where they King Alpha read and say, in the event.
Okay, King Alpha, in the event of widespread and continuing and coordinated racial disturbances in the United States, King Alfred, at the discretion of the president, is to be put into action immediately.
Keep going.
Participating federal agencies, National Security Council, Department of Justice, Central Intelligence Agency, Department of Defense, Federal Bureau of Investigation, Department of Interior. That's basically the CIA, the FBI, and I don't know who these other National Security Council is. Okay, participating state agencies under federal jurisdiction, National Guard units, state police, participating local agencies under federal jurisdiction, city police, county police. Let me see. National Security Council. This is a memo that was, one of the memos that was given to the National Security Council. Even before 1954, when the Supreme Court of the United States of America declared unconstitutional separate educational and recreational facilities, racial unrest and discord had become very nearly a part of the American way of life. But that way of life was repugnant to most Americans. Since 1954, however, that unrest and discord have broken out into widespread violence, which increasingly have placed the peace and stability of the nation in dire jeopardy. The violence has resulted in loss of life, limb, and property, and has cost the taxpayers of this nation billions of dollars. And the end is not yet in sight.
the same violence has raised the tremendously grave question as to whether the races can ever live in peace with each other. Each passing month has brought new intelligence that despite new laws passed to alleviate the condition of the minority still is not satisfied. You got it right. Demonstrations and rioting have become a part of the familiar scene. Troops have been called out in city after city across the land, and our image as a world leader severely damaged. Our enemies press closer, seeking the advantage possibly at a time during one of these outbreaks of violence. The minority has adopted an almost military posture to gain its objectives, which are not clear to most Americans. It is expected, therefore, that when those objectives are denied, the minority racial war must be considered inevitable. When that emergency comes, we must expect the total involvement of all 22 million members of the minority, men, women, and children. For once, this project is launched. Sorry, let me go back. 22 million members of the minority, men, women, and children. For once, this project is launched. Its goal is to terminate, once and for all, the minority threat to the whole of the American society and indeed the free world. Chairman, National Security Council. This is a memo from the National Security Council.
Hold on one second. Hold on one second. What he just read to you is a memo that saying that blacks get together and just riot and tear up and destroy everything. Okay, and then it says, by the way of life was repugnant to most Americans since 1954. However, the unrest and discord have been out into, let me read that again, I'm sorry. But the way of life was repugnant to most Americans since 1954. However, the unrest and discord have broken out into widespread violence and increasingly have displaced peace and stability in the nation. But the way of life was repugnant to most Americans since 1954. However, the unrest and discord have broken out into widespread violence, which increasingly has placed the peace and stability of the nation in dire jeopardy. It's not that many blacks getting together. They might be killing each other, but the country is not in jeopardy. Not the blacks killing each other. The blacks destroying each other, but they saying the country is in dire jeopardy. The violence has resulted in loss of life, limb of property, and has cost the taxpayers of this nation billions of dollars. And the end is not yet in sight. The same violence has raised the tremendous grave question to whether the races can ever live in peace with each other. The way they put it is like, we just race warring and destroying each other, and it's way more blacks destroying the whites. Right here, this part says the minority has adopted an almost military posture to gain its objectives, which are not clear to most Americans. It's not that any many blacks getting together, they fighting and killing each other. How they adopted a military-like posture to fight against. But all in all, it says, when that emergency comes, we will expect the total involvement of all 22 million members of the minority, which is the black man, the black woman, and the children. For once this project is launched, its goal is to terminate once and for all the minority threat to the whole of the American society and indeed the free world. And then, under King Alpha, it's broke down in 10 divisions, in 10 regions. Under King Alpha, the nation is broke down under 10 regions in case of an emergency. Minority members will be evacuated from the cities by the Federalized National Guard units, local and state police, if necessary by units of the regular armed forces, using public and military transportation. and dig and detain in nearby military installations. Put it like this, concentration camps. I'm going to read that again. Under King Alpha, the nation has been divided in 10 regions. In case of emergency, minority members will be evacuated from the cities by federalized National Guard units, local and state police, and if necessary, by units of the regular armed forces using public and military transportation and detained. And they're giving the reasons. Deep South region, Deep South Region 2, Great Plains, Rocky Mountain region, Southwest region, West Coast region. Now, let's go down. Go right here where the leaders. This is the black leaders. The black leaders. And read some of these groups of these black, these 12 groups. All these supposed to be black groups of black, what is called with NAACP, what is that? Like the Urban League, what is those things called?
I can't even think of what they call it, but I don't know. I'm just reading. I'm not sure.
Advancement for black. It's supposed to be something that helps the black people. Well, all these groups, the Black Muslims, the Student Nonviolent Coalition Committee, the Congress of the Racial Equality, I can't pronounce that, UHURU Movement, Group on Advanced Leadership, Freedom Nonparty, United Black Nation, Nationalists of America, the New Pan-African Movement, Southern Christian Leadership Conference, the National Urban League, the National Association for Advanced of Colored People, NAACP, Committee on Racial and Religious Programs, with all these so-called black leaders, all of them, they're going to take all of them and they're going to throw all of them inside concentration camps, if not kill them. They're going to take all of them, throw them in the concentration camp, if not kill them. Now, go down and read. After that, we're gonna start with soon as the emergency breakout, we'll say local police and minority leaders. Read from right down.
Okay. Local police and minority leaders in action to head off the emergency. Countdown to 8 hours begins at the moment the president determined the emergency to be national, coordinated, of long duration, 8th hour. County police join local police, 7th hour. State police join county and local police, 6th hour. Federal marshals join state, county, and local forces, 5th hour. National guards, federalized, held in readiness, 4th hour. Regular armed forces alerted, take up positions, minority troops divided and detained.
Read that again. Number seven.
It says, regular armed forces alerted, take up positions, minority troops divided and detained, along with all white sympathizers under guard, 3rd hour.
Okay. So on the 3rd hour, the regular armed forces alerted, take up positions. What it means, regular armed forces? Whites. Because the minority troops divided and detained. So the same brothers and sisters who got the guns on the other blacks, who taking them into the concentration camps, killing them, forcing them on these trains or this military transportation, police, or any type of federal police transportation or whatever. These same people, around the 3rd hour, regular armed forces alerted, take up positions, and they're going to come up against the minority troops, dividing them and detaining them, along with all white sympathizers. any white person is like, what's going on? Why y'all doing this? They're going to get detained and killed too. Keep reading.
All minority leaders, national and local, detained, second hour.
Read that again. Your Jesse Jacksons and Al Sharpness, read that again.
Says, all minority leaders, national and local, detained, second hour. Next one. President addresses minority on radio, television, on radio or television or and television. Gives it 1 hour to end the emergency first hour.
So I hope everybody's paying attention that it just said president addresses minority on the radio / television. Gives it 1 hour to end it. In the emergency first hour. That means if that was to happen during the time your president is in the chair now, a black president will be addressing these same black people who they detained. This is the King Afro's plan of people. It might not sound so wicked or so bad right now, but you pull it up and you research it. It's called the King's Afro Plan. Spell King Afro for him, brother.
That's King, KingAlfred, Plan, PLAN, King Afro Plan. Well, can they type this in YouTube and get some solid research on that, or?
Because you got to understand these things that they already did was a test run. Read to them what was going on when they was throwing all these bodies in the furnace and these over there in Germany when they was killing these people, testing to see if those things gonna work when it comes time to do it to the blacks in America. Read where it says committee report is referring to the problems that occurred in Nazi Germany.
Okay, it says the Zero Committee report is referring to the problems that occurred in Nazi Germany when the furnaces were not hot enough to burn the bodies that Hitler had killed. The bodies clogged up the furnaces, thereby causing a problem that the above committee recommends avoiding by building high-volume nuclear-powered incinerators that burn 5,000 degrees. It should be noted that steel melts at approximately 2,700 degrees. So I'm going to go back a little bit. It says here, the bodies clogged up the furnaces, thereby causing a problem that the above committee recommends avoiding by building high-volume nuclear power incinerators that burn 5,000 degrees. It should be noted that steel melts at approximately 2,700 degrees. So this is two times as hot as something that melts as a furnace that melts steel. FYI.
Okay, so. And okay, I tell you what, for if you're listening and you want to find exactly the information what we read, because I've been looking, doing research and finding the King Alfred's plan, but not in this whole totality, all together like this, it'll have bits and pieces. If you need the full in-depth information off of what we read, either call in. No, we're going to need you to send an email address so we can send you the direct link. And the email address is warriorsinchrist144@gmail.com. Warriorsinchrist144 warriorsinchrist144@gmail. No, warriorsinchrist144@gmail.com. And we will send you this information, because we're finna go down and we're finna show you these places where they're going to send the people, these concentration camps, and you're finna be shocked of where FEMA comes from. The word FEMA, if we think back, and we think in the, just think back and think when the first time we heard FEMA. When the first time did you ever hear FEMA? It probably was when you first heard about the Hurricane Katrina in New Orleans. Just think back when you first heard of FEMA. Okay. Now we're going to give you some shocking information, since we don't read the King House's plan on what they have planned for the Hebrew Israelites. We're going to read to you about concentration camps. And all this happened to be on the same page.
Mm-hmm.
Official document confirming the camps. That means they're real. They're real. Brother, read to me that second paragraph.
Start with what? The Gielin organization?
Go all the way down where it's a official document confirming the counts.
Yeah, I'm there, but
we could show them where FEMA, we could show them the origin of FEMA. The original name for FEMA.
Okay, I'm on the official document confirming the camp. I said the Gielin organization, copying Hitler's new order, established a concentration camp system in St. Louis, Obispo County. It was called the California Specialized Training Institute. It developed plans called the King Alfred Plan, Operation Cable Splitter, Operation Garden Plot, and Rex 84, and was later renamed as the Federal Emergency Management Agency, or FEMA.
So, when you hear of Rex 84, Operation Garden Plot, Operation Cable Splinter, all that go back, all that's the same thing, the King Alfred's plan. So when they saying FEMA, you talking about King Alfred plan. Because FEMA has concentration camps all over the United States. When you get a chance, look it up. When you get a chance, look it up. Keep reading. Read the next one where it says there are over 600 prison camps.
There are over 600 prison camps in the United States, all fully operational and ready to receive prisoners. They are all staffed and even surrounded by full-time guards, but they are all empty. These camps are to be operated by FEMA. These camps are to be operated by FEMA. Should martial law need to be implemented in the United States?
No. That's the initials of FEMA. Read the whole name of FEMA, because they're supposed to be when hurricane come, or when this come, or when that come. Read the full name of FEMA.
It's FEMA, Federal Emergency Management Agency.
Now, hold on, read that again for me. Read the name again for me.
Federal Emergency Management Agency.
Okay, this is the Federal Emergency Management Agency, but it says these camps are all operated by FEMA, prison camps. Operated by the Federal Emergency Management Agency. And King's Alfred plan is one, they're waiting on one big emergency to come for they to take us down. That's their plan. Like I say, warriorsinchrist144@gmail.com. As soon as you send it, we will send you the link. You could do your research for you could see yourself, and you don't have to think, oh, these brothers just reading this or these brothers just saying this. You could see it yourself. You could see it yourself, brothers and sisters. So we ain't going to harp on this too long because we got a show to do. We got Sisters of the Bible. Is there any more news that we could shoot out real fast, or are you ready to go in?
Yeah, man, I think that was pretty much it on the news. Let me think. What else we
No. Even my bad. I can't forget this part. We can't forget this part. Go down and read about the trains that they have with the shackles and with the shackles in the train.
Okay. Let me find. Oh, okay. I got a picture of this train right here. One moment. Okay, here it is. It says, an anonymous source who worked at the plant said that the train cars were prison cars ordered and paid for by the United Nations. He also said that the boxcar had shackles and racks built inside by another company before they left Oregon. The rail line ends in Fort Nelson, where there is a military base. It has been reported by Canadians that most of the military bases in Canada have been designed and built to be utilized as concentration/prison camps.
And then right up under that, y'all please send emails because we can't read all this. Because they go down and talking about the guillotines that they have. And if you don't know what a guillotine is, off with your head. That just off with your head because that's what it do.
Off with your head. 1400. Off with your head.
It cuts your head off. So now we get a better understanding. Please go to the scripture for me. Go to the scripture in Revelation when they say, I have you all went to, when John seen the souls of them who was beheaded. See, now we understand these scriptures. It come more clear when you see the dark side of what they actually got planned. When you come to the understanding of these scriptures, well, and you understanding the Tanakh, what the prophets is saying, and you could do your research, link in with the Most High, be Christ-like, and the Spirit will start showing you things. Because you start doing the work. You start coming closer to the Father. Then you start seeing this wickedness. Then you can understand why the scriptures say the souls that were beheaded for the witness and the testimony of Christ.
Revelation. Let's get it right now. Yeah, sir.
Okay,
you
now.
Okay,
guillotines off with your head. Let's go.
Revelation chapter 20, verse 4. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Yeshua and for the word of the Most High, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads, or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years.
Okay, so that means if it even cut down in your head being taken off because you won't take the chip. Let's go to Revelation 14, verse 9 real quick. Because we know not to take the chip. If we take the chip, we gave away our free will. The Most High created us and gave us free will. The angels even got free will. We got free will. But if you give away your free will, Revelation 14, verse 9.
Revelation chapter 14, verse 9. And the third angel followed them, saying,
with a loud voice. If any man worship the beast in his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation, and he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb.
Keep going.
And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night, who worship the beast in his image. And whosoever receiveth the mark of his name, here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Yeshua.
Keep going.
Okay, verse 13. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Ye, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works. Do follow them.
So that's showing us right there that it's a greater reward not taking that mark. It's a greater reward letting them drop that guillotine on you. Because at the end of the day, don't renounce Christ. Don't renounce the Most High. Don't renounce the fact that you know you're Israelite. Don't renounce those things. Those things, if you overcome, at the beginning of the show, we read the seven overcomes. At the end of the day, we're going to have to stand up in who we are. We know who we are. So if we come to the death, so be it. Amen. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, Warriors in Christ, 144@gmail.com. If you want that information, we'll send you the link. You can research it yourself. But at the same time, do your research with the information we're giving you. Go to YouTube, put in Actors in Egypt, look up Pollywood, and like we say, look up King's Effort's Plan and try to get into the Sortiety. Look up the concentration camps. FEMA, look at FEMA's background, where it originally come from. Rex 84, King's Answers Plan. Look up Rex 84. So with that, that's the news for this segment. And this is the show of Sisters of the Bible. We're going to go ahead and get in these scriptures. And let's deal with us Hebrews. Let us Hebrews read about our women. Let's go.
Hello, we got one more to play. We going to do that real quick? Or?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, we're going to play the last tune, and then we're going to get right into it on the flip side of this tune, brothers and sisters. Kwame Yashira.
Prepare, heaven have its
right, all right. We're back. You're tuned in to the Lion's Den, Warriors in Christ. I'm Brother Yehonathan, or Jonathan,
yep,
alongside with the Brother Dwayne. Yes, yes.
Yep.
Sisters of the Bible. Okay.
Sisters of the Bible. Hey, check it out before we go in, because, man, we done went, we've been riding. We ain't even been in the, so I already see we're going overtime tonight. So I already know we're going overtime, but we haven't have a method where we could keep the brothers on after we're going to overtime. So before we're going to overtime, I want to thank these people that's in the queue. You know what I'm saying? Because I already know once we're going to overtime, they might get kicked out. So let that first brother in.
All right, I'm bringing you in, Brother Randy. One moment, brother. You're on live, the Warriors in Christ. Shalom, brother. Shalom, brother, you there? Shalom, brother, you're on the air, Warriors in Christ. He might be.
That's Randy. Put him back in the queue. You come back to him. Go to the next one.
Okay, I think this might be Brother AJ. I'm bringing you in if you're there listening, brother. One moment. You're on the air with Warriors in Christ. Shalom. Hello? Okay.
Go to the next.
I guess they want us to go ahead and crank up and get in the show. Hold on, I know this is John. we're gonna bring him in to see if he's there. One moment. You're on the L, Warriors in Christ. Shalom, brother. Man, hello? I guess not. So put these brothers back on mute, put them in the queue, refresh my page, make sure I'm seeing what I'm supposed to see on my end. Yeah, and it's showing that all of the brothers are still there. So I'm not sure why we couldn't pull anybody in. Want me to try once again or just go in on it, on the script?
Go try once again, because once we go in overtime, we ain't gonna be able to holler at them.
Okay, yeah. Let me go for the brother Randy again. I'm bringing you in, Randy. If you can hear me, brother. Shalom, brother. You can hear me. Shalom, brother Randy. You there? Okay, we're gonna try the brother AJ. You can hear me, Brother AJ. We're bringing you in right now.
Hello?
Shalom, brother. You there? You can hear me? Shalom, brother.
Shalom. What's up?
Shalom. What's going on, man? This is actually the brother AJ, right?
Yeah.
Okay. We just wanted to acknowledge the brother. Go ahead.
I caught a little piece of it. I didn't catch all of it. I caught the piece about the King Alpha plan. That's a serious plan right there. About the famine and stuff, about the
Okay. I sent you the link. You got the link?
So I got the link when you look.
So we just wanted to bring you in to tell you thanks for, you know what I'm saying, being linking in and we're gonna do. You got the link?
We're about to look right now. I'm going to, you trying to send me on a text?
No, I emailed it to you. You sent me
Yeah, I got that.
Okay, well, you got that link. We'd like to tell you thank you for linking in, and we know you're going to link in again, brother, but check that information out, man. Check the information out. And we'd like to tell you thank you again for supporting, and we're going to go to the next, brother. Thank you again, brother.
No doubt, man. Thank you, guys, for keeping it up, man. I thought it's going to be a lot more people, you know, because you should see it making sense. A lot of people need to hear this, so you know, there should be a whole lot more people doing it, you know. But keep it up. It's going to be a lot of people tuning in with you guys, right?
Appreciate it.
You study that information, and you take that to your brothers and sisters, brother.
Man, I did not even know they was talking about guillotine. That was like, what? Guillotine? They gonna put you on train? What?
Yeah, man.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So get that information out there, man. That's what we're here for. So, Kwam Yashal, you know, we'll begin with you again. So, you know what I'm saying? We're going to go to the next brother. Go by. I heard Randy come on. But thank you again, brother, for the support. Kwam.
All right.
Yeah.
Let me go back to the brother Randy real quick, because I know he in there. Brother Randy, if you there, can you hear me? Brother Randy, can you hear me? Shalom. Shalom, brother. Nah, man, there's something going on with that, so I'm gonna have to just try John Boy real quick and see if he's there and able to speak with us, and we got to have to go in, man, if he's not the veteran. So, John Boy, we're bringing you in right now. Warriors in Christ, you're tuned in to the Lion's Den. Shalom, brother. Shalom, brother. John Boy, yeah? Nah, not working, man. So, I guess we need to just go in, brother.
Yeah, just go in. We'll get with them brothers later. You know what I'm saying? You know, both of them brothers, I want to thank them brothers. Well, I'm going to thank you now. Randy, man, you know, man, I appreciate you, brother, because, you know, for a big part of this lesson, you know what I'm saying, you took the time, you know what I'm saying, to grind it out and help Warriors in Christ, you know what I'm saying, with all that good understanding and good wisdom. You guys, thank you, brother. And John Boy, man, you know, we going to thank you. You know what I'm saying? Because we had that good, you know what I'm saying, conversation the other night, man. And, you know what I'm saying? Thank you again. Thanks for the love. We got you down here on this side, on South Florida. We got you, brother. So, you thank them, brothers, and then let's go.
Yeah, man. Just like the brother said, I couldn't have said it no better myself. Bless y'all, brothers, man. Y'all a blessing to me. Y'all a blessing to the brother Dwayne, of course, to Warriors in Christ, man. We understand that we all we got, man. You got to fall in line or fall behind. You know what I'm saying? And we know that we all in unity with the Mashiach Yeshaya. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, standing 10 toes down, you know, that's pretty much what it is, man. We're going all the way in for the Most High in Christ, you know. So that's what it is. The work don't stop till the casket drop. So let's get it.
All right, with that said, this is Sisters of the Bible. And when we talk about Sisters of the Bible, we got to go to the very first sister. And we already know who that is. That's Eve. So what we're going to do, let's go to Genesis. We're going to go to Genesis 1, verse 26.
All right, Genesis. Chapter 1, verse 26. And God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth."
Keep going.
Verse 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them.
Okay.
And God blessed. Okay.
Okay. Jump over, let's go over here to Genesis 2, verse 21. Because we got the understanding that the Most High, we got the understanding that man and woman in the earth is the image of the heavens, the Father, the Holy Spirit, which is a female spirit, and the Son. For all the people who first time hearing that, yes, the earth is in it. Yes, man and woman is the image of the Godhead that's in the heavens, the Father, the Ruach, which is the female spirit, which is wisdom, which is the Holy Spirit, in Christ, which is the Word, the Son. Let's go to Genesis 2,
verse 21.
Genesis 2, verse 21. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib, which the Lord God had taken from man, made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man.
Okay, she shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Now, let's keep going. Let's go to Genesis 3, verse 1, and let's read it all the way through.
Genesis 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, ye, have God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees. We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it. Neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God doeth know that in the day ye eat thereof, your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil.
Read verse 5 again.
Genesis 3, verse 5. For God doeth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil.
So the serpent will let the woman know, if you eat of the fruit, you have understanding. It ain't talking about no sex. Because he said, for God doeth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. So at that time, we understand that they was innocent minded. How we know they was innocent minded? Genesis 2, verse 25. Read it for me.
Genesis 2, verse 25. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed.
When children run around the house, little kids, 3, 4, 5 years old, what do? They run around naked. They have no shame because they are innocent minded. Adam and Eve was in their innocence. They knew no evil. They knew no evil. So read verse 3, verse 5 again for me.
Genesis chapter 3, verse 25. And they were both naked.
No,
the man and his wife.
No, read Genesis 3, verse 5 for me.
Okay. Genesis 3, verse 5. For God doeth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil.
Knowing good and evil. So that's letting you know at that time, they didn't have no evil thoughts. They was in an innocent mind frame. Read verse 6.
And when the woman, Genesis chapter 3, verse 6. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree to be desired to make one wise, she took
read
of
that
the
again
fruit
for
thereof.
Me. Read that again for me.
Genesis chapter 3, verse 6. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat.
Hold on. It says, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, it tasted good, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and that the tree to be desired to make one wise. So she ate of the fruit. And when she ate of the fruit, that's where deception came in. That's where lies came in, or what you call gain. Because she was able to take this fruit to Adam where he know he didn't supposed to eat. But guess what? She didn't tell him that was the fruit they didn't supposed to eat. She lied to him. She had game. At first, she was dealing with number innocent. That's why in verse 5 it says, "For God doeth know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open." See, but it's open to what? Knowing good and evil. So when she took him that fruit, she was working out of evil. She was using deception. She lied to him. Read verse 6.
Genesis chapter 3, verse 6. "And when the woman saw that this, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat."
See, gave also to her husband. Let's go to Genesis 2. Go to Genesis 2, verse 15, and read down through 17 for me.
Genesis chapter 2, verse 15. "And the Lord God took the man and put him into the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die."
So right here, it's showing Satan will definitely lie. Because right here, Genesis 3, verse 5, and it said, "And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die." But the Most High said, in 17, Genesis 2, verse 17, "But of the tree of knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die." So this is a lie that the Satan wrong to the woman. And how we know that the woman understood she was lying to Adam, verse 6 said, "And when the woman," Genesis 3, verse 6, "And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and that the tree be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also to her husband." Now, we already know, she knows she ain't supposed to eat of the tree of that tree. How we know that? Genesis 3, verse 2. "And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die." So evidently, what was given to Eve was knowledge of evil. She was able to lie. She was able to convince Adam to eat of a fruit. So, right here, it's showing us that Eve was deceived. And not, she didn't lay up with no serpent. That's utterly madness. This is showing us by her eating of that fruit or whatever it was that it brought in lies, deception. That's what it brought. Okay. Keep reading. Verse 7.
Genesis chapter 3, verse 7. "And the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God, walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree? Thereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat. The man said, The woman whom thou gavest to me. So like in verse 12. And the woman said, The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord said unto the serpent, Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field upon the belly. Thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel.
Hold on one second. The Most High said, And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. So, the first woman in the earth, the Most High told her he will put enmity between her seed and the Satan and the serpent seed. Now, that goes all the way back to what we were talking about earlier with the news, with those individuals who are coming up against us, because we are the children of Israel. We are the seed of this very woman the scripture talking about. We are that seed. When you follow the scriptures all the way back to self, we are those people. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, we are those people. So that the enemy with Satan, seed against the woman's seed, we are that holy seed. The Most High do have a holy chosen people in the earth, and that is the holy seed. Now, a lot of people try to figure out that in order for Satan to have a seed in the earth, they say he had to have sex with Eve, but that's not true. He didn't have sex with Eve. The angels came down and brought forth madness in the earth. And those angels came down in Genesis 6. And Amalek happens to be that seed that Satan merged with to take down the children of Israel. The Greeks and the Romans, we destroyed out the Romans. We was ruling over King James, and all those brothers was ruling over what is called Europe. And they came and took us down. They came with the new, with the Renaissance, which is a rebirth. That's why all those pictures was put up, paintings and pictures, they took us down. Now we're finding out who we is. Now we're understanding the scripture right here when it says, And I will put enmity between thee and thy woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It's actually a spiritual war going on. There's a physical war. It's a physical war going on where they're self-killing you with diseases, killing you out in the street. Instead of taking you to jail, killing you in the street. And it's a war against you. But it's a war. A war usually is when two different factions understand they're fighting against each other. But the children of Israel don't even know who they are to even know that serpent seed is at war with them. Okay, keep going. What do you say to the woman? Verse 16.
Okay. I didn't finish the whole. Okay, verse 16, Genesis 3 and 16. Unto the woman, he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow, thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And Adam said,
and thy desire shall be thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. Keep going.
Verse 17. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree, which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake, and sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Verse 18. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb, and thou shalt eat the herb of the fields. Verse 19. And the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken. For dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. Verse 20. And Adam called his wife Eve, and Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living.
Okay, that's why we had to start off with Eve. Read verse 20.
Genesis chapter 3, verse 20. And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living.
This is the mother of all living. So we started off with Eve. She's the mother of all living. Now, to prove that Adam and Eve going against Cain, because some people say, hey, Eve slept with Satan. So if Eve slept with Satan, how could this be? Read verse chapter 4, verse 1, and let's see what it say. Let's see who was who planted the seed for Cain.
Genesis chapter 4, verse 1, and Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived, and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord.
Okay. Now, brother, can you please tell me what Cain, when she said Cain, what is she saying? What is Hebrew name? What would that meaning of Cain be?
Cain, the meaning of Cain would be acquire.
So, she said, in Genesis 4, verse 1, and Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and acquired, and bare Cain, which means acquired, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. So that means I have acquired a man from the Lord. Right or wrong, brother? Is that what you're saying?
That's what I'm saying, brother. That's right.
Okay. A cocaine means acquire. So that's showing us that Satan didn't plead with Eve. We honestly see who the scripture is showing us who planted the seed for Cain. Read that again for me, brother.
Genesis chapter 4, verse 1. And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord.
Okay. Now read verse 20 again so we can have an understanding who was the mother of all living. Because remember, Eve wasn't conceived. Eve was constructed. She was brought forth from Adam's rib. She was constructed. She was put together. She was made. She wasn't born. So read verse 3, verse 20 for me.
Genesis chapter 3, verse 20. And Adam called his wife named Eve because she was the mother of all living.
Because she was the mother of all living. Okay. Now, let's go to Genesis 17, verse 16.
Genesis 17, verse 16. And I will bless her and give thee a son also of her, me. I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings
okay.
People shall be.
No, keep reading. I'm sorry.
Kings of people shall be of her.
Okay, now go to 15. Start at 15. We're talking, this is Sarah right here. This is Abraham's wife. We understand Eve, she is the mother of the living. She's the first, she brought in the first creation of man. She bare the first man, which was Cain. Now we finna look at Sarah, Abraham's wife. Read verse 15.
Genesis chapter 17, verse 15. And God said unto Abraham, as for Sarah, thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarah, but Sarah shall her name be. And I will bless her and give thee a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her.
Okay, now let's look at Sarah, which is verse 15, and look at Sarah when it says, "But Sarah shall be her name." You tell me what Sarah means in Hebrew, brother.
Sarah, it means, one moment, princess.
Okay, princess. Now read verse 16.
And I will bless her and give thee a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her.
She shall be a mother of nations. Because through Sarah, the Edomite nation came, the Arab nation came. These nations came from Sarah. The Hebrews was already in the play, but not the Hebrew Israelite. Jacob came from Sarah. Isaac came from Sarah. And Jacob come from Isaac. Read verse 17.
Genesis chapter 17, verse 17. Then Abraham fell upon his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? And shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear?
Okay, let's go to 18, verse 11 through 15.
Genesis chapter 18, verse 11. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of woman. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? Verse 13. And the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of a surety bear a child, which am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Verse 15, and Sarah denied, saying, I laugh not, for she was afraid. And he said, nay, but thou didst laugh.
Okay, look at this. Now, Sarah says she didn't laugh. Then Sarah denied, saying, I laugh not, for she was afraid. And he said, nay, but thou didst laugh. Okay, now let's go to chapter 21, verse 2 through 7. And let's see why the great I am, which means Ahaya. You look it up, it means I am. Higher is a root word. Higher is the root word. H-A-Y-A-H is the root word in the Hebrew, in this Hebrew name. Because A-H is the prefix. So higher is the root word which come to pass. So when the father, higher, the great I am, A-H, will be from the standpoint of power of one. Once put that together, it's a higher I am. So when the Most High says something, it comes to pass. So let's go to Genesis 21, verse 2, and see, did the Most High make things come to pass, what he had told Abraham and Sarah?
Genesis 21, verse what?
21, verse 2.
What? Hold on, let me try that one. Genesis chapter 21, verse 2. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest. Hold on one second. Hold on one second.
21, verse 2.
Hold on, hold on. The computer tripping. Let me, I got to open up another.
Matter of fact, start at verse 1.
All right. Genesis chapter 21, verse 1, right?
Yeah.
Okay, my computer kind of tripping too, man. So I don't know what's about to happen, but. All right, let's just take off. Genesis 21, verse 1. And the Lord visited Sarah as he said, as he had said. And the Lord did unto Sarah.
As he had, hold on one second. He visited Sarah as he had said. Let's, people, please start looking at these scriptures with the understanding. Anytime the Most High says something, it comes to pass. That's how you get a better understanding of his name. Anything the Most High say come to pass. Higher means come to pass. So it says, and the Lord visited Sarah as he had said. And the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. Keep going.
Genesis chapter 21, verse 2. For Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age at the set time of which God had spoken to him.
At the set time which the Most High Power had spoken to him. He told him this time next year she's going to have a child. Keep going.
Mm-hmm. Verse 3. And Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bare to him, Isaac. And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac, being 8 days old. And God had commanded him. And Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born unto him. And Sarah said, God hath made me to laugh, for that all that hear will laugh with me. Verse 7. And she said, who would have said unto Abraham that Sarah should have given children? So, for I have borne him a son in his old age.
See
and
that?
The child grew. Yep.
Now, let's look at Isaac's name. Go to verse 3. And look at Isaac and tell me what Isaac means.
Verse 3, look at Isaac. Okay, it says laughter.
So, the Most High made Sarah laugh in the old age by giving her a child. But remember, when the Most High first came and told her this, what did she do?
She laughed.
She laughed. And she denied she laughed. But when he brought forth the child, could she deny the laughing? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So let's look at these things. Let's pay these things attention. So let's look at Miriam, which is the sister of Moses. We're going inside the book of Jasher. The book of Jasher is a book. And so that's been referred, it has its references, it's referenced in the Bible, Joshua 10, verse 13, and also 2 Samuel 1, verse 18. We're going to go to chapter 67 inside the book of Joshua.
Go ahead, bro. Hello, you can hear me, brother? Dwayne. Hello? Hello? One moment, please. Shalom, brother.
Yeah, shalom. I got to jump on with you over here.
Yeah, definitely. My computer is really tripped. It tripped out a long time ago. So kind of kicked us. We on the air, but I can't even function the switchboard. So let's do it. Let me go on through the progression. Book of Joshua.
Yeah, the Book of Joshua, chapter 67.
Okay, I'm now gonna read just start from the top.
All right, verse one. Like I was saying, we do a recap real quick. We looked at Eve, who was the mother of living. We looked at Sarah, who was the mother of nations. And now we're gonna look at Miriam, the sister of Moses.
This is the book of Jasher, chapter 67. There was a man in the land of Egypt, of the seed of Levi, whose name was Aram, the son of Kohath, son of Levi, the son of Israel. And this man went and took a wife, namely Jacobit, the daughter of Levi, his father's sister. And she was 126 years old. And he came unto her, and the woman conceived and bare a daughter, and her name, and Shalakim, verse 3. And the woman conceived and bare a daughter, and she called her name Miriam, because in those days the Egyptians had embittered their lives of the children of Israel.
Okay, so Miriam was born in the time when he was enslaved in Egypt. Miriam was born in time when they was enslaved in Egypt, and it's also showing, giving us understanding that Moses was born of a family of Levi. There was a man in the land of Egypt of the seed of Levi. That's verse 1, chapter 67, verse 1. Okay? Now, let's go to chapter 68. Chapter 68, verse 1. Still showing Miriam that we showed she was born. Now we're going to keep going. Let's see how the Most High worked it with Miriam, how the Most High dealt with Miriam.
The book of Joshua, chapter 68, verse 1. And it was at that time the Spirit of God was upon Miriam, the daughter of Amram. The daughter of Amram, the sister of Aaron. And she went forth and prophesied about the house, saying, Behold, a son will be born unto us from my father and mother this time. And he will save Israel from the hand of Egypt. And when Amram heard the words of his daughter,
he went and took his wife back to the house after he had driven her away at the time when Pharaoh ordered every male child of the house of Jacob to be thrown into the water. So Amram took Jochebed, his wife, 3 years after he had driven her away, and he came to her, and she conceived.
So the man wouldn't deal with his wife because of the things that was going on in Egypt when it was being very harsh to them. But when Miriam prophesied that it would be that they would have a son that would free them, he went and dealt with his wife. Read verse 2 again for me. Okay, I'm going to read it for you. And it was at that time that the spirit of the Most High had was upon Miriam, the daughter of Aaron, the sister of Aaron. And she went forth and prophesied about the house, saying, "Behold, a son will be born unto us from my father and mother at this time, and he will save Israel from the hands of Egypt." And when Aaron heard these words of his daughter, he went and took his wife back to the house after he had driven her away at the time when Pharaoh ordered every male child of the house of Jacob to be thrown into the water. So the spirit came upon her to prophesy these things, and the Most High put everything into play. Read verse 4.
Verse 4. And at the end of 7 months from her conception, she brought forth a son, and the whole house was filled with great light, as the light of the sun and moon at the time of their shining. Verse 5. Then when the woman saw the child that it was good and pleasing to the sight, she hid it for 3 months in an inner room. In those days, the Egyptians conspired to destroy all the Hebrews there. And the Egyptian woman went to Goshen, where the children of Israel were, and they carried their young ones upon their shoulders, their babies who could not yet speak. And in those days, when the women of the children of Israel brought forth each woman, had hidden her son from before the Egyptians, that the Egyptians might not know of their bringing forth, and might not destroy them from the land. And the Egyptian women came to Goshen, and their children who could not speak were upon their shoulders. And when the Egyptian woman came into the house of a Hebrew woman, her baby began to cry. And when it cried, the child that was in the inner room answered it. So the Egyptian woman went and told it at the house of Pharaoh. And Pharaoh sent his officers to take the children and slay them. Thus did the Egyptians to the Hebrew women all the days. And it was at that time, about 3 months from Jochebed's concealment of her son, that the thing was known in Pharaoh's house. And the woman hastened to take away her son before the officer came. And she took from him an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with slime and with pitch and put the child therein. And she laid it in the flags by the river's bank. And his sister Miriam stood afar off to know what would be done to him and what would become of her words. And God sent forth at that time a terrible heat in the land of Egypt, which burned up the flesh of man like the sun and his circuit. And they greatly oppressed the Egyptians. And all the Egyptians went down to battle. And all the Egyptians went down to bathe in the river on account of the consuming heat, which burned up their flesh. And Bathia, the daughter of Pharaoh, went also to bathe in the river, owing to the consuming heat, and her maidens walked at the riverside, and at the woman of Egypt as well. And Bathia lifted up her eyes to the river, and she saw the ark upon the water, and sent her maid to fetch it. She opened it and saw the child, and behold, the babe wept, and she had compassion on him. And she said, "This is one of the Hebrews. This is one of the Hebrew children." And all the women of Egypt walking on the riverside desired to give him suck, but he would not suck, for this thing was from the Lord, in order to restore him to his mother's breast. And Miriam, his sister, was at that time amongst the Egyptian women at the riverside, and she saw this thing, and she said to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and fetch a nurse of a Hebrew woman?" And she went and nursed the child for thee. And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." And the young woman went and called the child's mother. And
okay.
Pharaoh's,
Okay. Hey, Sean, you're going to go to Numbers 12, verse 1, and show when Miriam was older. But right here we show Miriam, when she was young, she prophesied that she would have a brother that would save the children of Israel from their burdens in Egypt. She played an instrumental part because the Most High prophesied through her. So I know there are a lot of women who feel they don't have no part of raising up Israel. But we're showing you right here, the Most High, he dealt with Eve, made her the mother of all living. The Most High dealt with Sarah, made her the mother of nations. There wouldn't be no children of Israel if it wouldn't be no Sarah. And right here we see that when they was enslaved, that the Most High raised up a prophetess at a young age. She prophesied her brother Moses, who we all know is great. He was prophesied to come from his sister, a female. So that's when they was enslaved in Egypt. Now we're going to show you when they came out of Egypt, when the Most High had to punish her. So she was great in Egypt because she was the sister of Moses. Moses, Aaron, and Miriam were great and instrumental in bringing the children of Israel out of Egypt. Let's go to Numbers 12, verse 1.
Numbers chapter 12, verse 1. And Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married. For he had married an Ethiopian woman. And they said, "Hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Hath he not spoken also by us?" And the Lord heard it. Now, the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. And the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses and unto Aaron and unto Miriam, "Come out, ye three, unto the tabernacle of the congregation." And they three came out, and the Lord came down in the pillar of the cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam, and they both came forth. And he said, "Hear now my words. If there be a prophet, if there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision, and will speak unto him in a dream. My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all my house. With him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches. And the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. Wherefore then, were ye not afraid to speak against my servant?" And the anger of the Lord was kindled against them, and he departed. Verse 10, And the cloud departed from off the tabernacle, and behold, Miriam became leprous, white as snow. And Aaron looked upon Miriam, and behold, she was leprous. And Aaron said unto Moses, "Alas, my Lord, I beseech thee, lay not the sin upon us, wherein we have done foolishly and wherein we have sinned. Let her not be as one dead of whom the flesh is half consumed when he cometh out of his mother's womb." And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, "Heal her now, O God, I beseech thee." And the Lord said unto Moses, if her father had but spit in her face, should she not be ashamed 7 days? Let her be shut out from the camp 7 days, and after that, let her be received in again. And Miriam was shut out from the camp 7 days, and people journeyed not till Miriam was brought in again.
So right here, it's showing us that Miriam, even though she was the sister of Moses and Aaron, she had no place to run her mouth among men. That's what this scripture is showing you. Because it's right here. I'm going to read it. 12:9. I'm going to read 12:6. And it said, and he said, hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision, and will speak unto him in a dream. My servant Moses is not so. Who is faithful in my own house? With him I will speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dog speeches, in the similitude of the Lord, said he. Shall he behold? Wherefore then were ye not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? He's telling Aaron and Miriam, y'all weren't afraid to speak against my servant Moses. In verse 9, and the anger of the Most High was kindled against them. He was mad at both of them, and he departed. He was mad at both of them, but verse 10 say, and the cloud departed from off the tabernacle, and behold, Miriam became leprous, white as snow. So that's showing you a pigmentation differentiation. Pigmentation means the melanin, the color of the darkness of the skin. This is showing a differentiation of the pigmentation. She was dark at first until that cloud departed off the tabernacle, and behold, Mary became leprous, white as snow. So that's showing you she wasn't white from the beginning. And Aaron looked upon Mary, behold, she was leprous. So when Aaron looked over there and seen her, oh my goodness, Aaron said, verse 11, and Aaron said unto Moses, alas, my Lord, I beseech thee, lay not this sin upon us, wherein we had done foolishly, and wherein we have sinned. He's saying they sinned because they talked against the Most High servant. In verse 12, let her not be as one dead, of whom the flesh is half consumed when he come out his mother's womb. So if Aaron was saying Edomites is one that's dead because they don't come out with their full pigmentation from the womb. I'm going to read what Aaron said again. Let her not be as one dead, of whom the flesh is half consumed when he come out his mother's womb. And this is what Moses said. And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, hear her now, O God, I beseech thee, the Most High Power. And the Most High, the Lord, said unto Moses, if her father had not but spit in her face, should she not be ashamed 7 days? So she turned white because the Most High had to get her the business. Turn her white. And let her sit out the camp for 7 days. Verse 14, and the Lord said unto Moses, if her father had but not spit in her face, should she not be ashamed 7 days? Ashamed because she had no business speaking among the men. If Aaron had a problem speaking, she ain't had no business jumping in and speaking. That's what the Most High showing you. You see, let her be shut out of the camp 7 days, and after that, let her be received again. Verse 15, and Miriam was shut out from the camp 7 days, and the people journeyed not till Miriam was brought in again. So the people couldn't go nowhere till Miriam, her pigmentation came back, but the Most High healed her from that leprosy. So, but that's not the end of Miriam. that she got punished. But after then, let's go to Exodus 15, verse 20. That's not all the accounts from there, because that just was one mistake she made. We all make mistakes, but we still showing that Moses' sister Miriam, she was a prophetess. We already know that because she prophesied Moses' birth. She prophesied Moses was going to free him. So let's go to Exodus 15, verse 20.
Exodus chapter 15, verse 20. And Miriam, the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took a timbrel in her hand, and all the women went out after her with timbrels and with dancing. And Miriam answered them, saying, "Ye to the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath been thrown into the sea." So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur. And they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the water of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of it was called Marah.
Okay. Now, go back to the beginning. Marrying the who?
Exodus chapter 15, verse 20. And Miriam the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took a timbrel in her hand. And all the women went out after her with timbrels and with dances.
Okay.
And Miriam answered them, saying, "Ye to the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea."
So, that one of those songs at the beginning of the show was that song. That's actually a song right now when Miriam started singing. That song go all the way down through chapter. Let's see. Actually, it started 15, read 15 verse 1. That's actually where it started.
Exodus chapter 15 verse 1. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel the song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, "I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his riders hath he thrown into the sea." The Lord. Yeah.
Okay. From there all the way down, that's the whole song. From chapter, and it says, "Then said Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he triumphed gloriously. The horse and the rider have he thrown into the sea." Verse 2 all the way down to 23 is the song, the people's song. And then verse 20, and Miriam the prophetess and the sister Aaron took a timbrel in her hand. All the women went out after her and the timbrel and the dance. So when the Most High freed the children of Israel, the women, the men, the kids, they were singing to the Most High. They were singing to the Most High. And the prophetess, Miriam, she was among them leading the women. So let's go to Deborah and look at another lady. Another sister of Israel, written up in the scriptures, and let's see what position she held in front of the Most High. Because all the women we reading about had held the position with the Most High. All righteous women hold position with the Most High. Judges 4, verse 4.
Judges 4, verse 4. And Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lappidoth,
she judged Israel at that time.
She ruled Israel at that time. So a woman ruled over Israel at a point in time when Israel had no king. The Most High had judges. He had leaders to rule over them in different periods of time. And this woman, Deborah, happened to be a prophetess, and she ruled over the children of Israel at this time. 4:9.
Judges chapter 4:9. And she said, I will surely go with thee, notwithstanding the journey that thou takest shall not be for thine honor. For the Lord shall sell Sisera into the hand of a woman. And Deborah arose and went with Barak to Kadesh.
So right here, Deborah prophesied that the Most High would deliver Israel through a woman. Read 5:26 and read it now so we can see what happened when the Most High, like we say, the Most High, anything he say come to pass. And he put the spirit on Deborah to know that Israel will be delivered through the hands of a woman. Read 5:26.
Judges 5:26. She put her hand to the nail and her right hand to the workman's hammer. And with the hammer, she smote Sisera. She smote off his head. When she had pierced and stricken through his temples. At her feet he bowed, he fell, he lay down. At her feet he bowed, he fell. Where he bowed, there he fell down dead. The mother of Sisera looked out at a window and cried through the lattice, why is his chariot so long in coming? Why carry the wheels of his chariots? Her wise ladies answered her, ye, she returned answer to herself, have they not sped? Have they not divided the prey? To every man a damsel or two, to Sisera a prey of diverse colors, a prey of diverse colors of needlework, on both sides, meat for the necks of them that take the spoil. So let all thine enemies perish, O Lord. But let them that love him be as the sun when he goeth forth in his might. And the land had rest 40 years. Let's keep going on that. That was it for the rest of that chapter 5.
That was it right there. It was showing that, hold on. Okay. That's showing that she had prophesied that Israel will be delivered through the hands of a woman. So, the woman, she put the verse 26, and she put her hand to hold of the nail, and her right hand to the workman's hammer. And with it, the hammer, she smote Sisera. She smote off his head when she had pierced and stricken through his temples. At her feet he bowed, he fell, and laid down. At her feet he bowed, he fell. Where he bowed, that he fell down. So this woman killed this man that was coming against the children of Israel. And when she killed him, Israel had rest for 4 years. Nobody was coming up against the nation. So that's showing, we looked at Eve, the mother of the living, for all living. We looked at Sarah, the mother of nations. We looked at Miriam, a prophetess, the sister of Moses, who prophesied Moses would deliver the children of Israel from slavery. And we looked at Heber, who was also a prophetess. And she also was a ruler. She ruled over the children of Israel. Now we're going to look at our final sister. We're going to look at Sister Esther. So we're going to look at Esther, chapter 2:17. And Esther, she was enslaved. This was the time when the children of Israel was enslaved among the Medes and the Persians. And this sister, ended up becoming a queen during the time of slavery. She ended up being a queen, representing the children of Israel, representing the Jews in the land of captivity. 2:17.
Esther chapter 2:17. And the king loved Esther above all the women, and she obtained grace and favor in his sight more than all the virgins, so that he set the royal crown upon her head and made her queen instead of Vashti. Then the king made a great feast unto all his princes and his servants, even Esther's feast. And he made a release to provoke to princes. Let me go back on that. Verse 18. Then the king made a great feast unto all the princes and his servants, even Esther's feast. And he made a release to the provinces and gave gifts according to the state of the king. And when the virgins were gathered together the second time, then Mordecai sat in the king's gate. Esther had not yet showed her kindred nor her people, as Mordecai had changed her. For Esther did the commandments of Mordecai. For Esther did the commandment of Mordecai, like as when she was brought up with him. In those days, while Mordecai sat in the king's gate, two of the king's chamberlains, Bigthan and Teresh, of those which kept the door, were wroth and sought to lay hand on the king Ahasuerus. And the thing was known to Mordecai, who told it unto Esther. Okay.
Well, I was showing that this sister was given a queenship among, she was enslaved. She rose up to be a queen. Her uncle told her not to tell what nation she was from. So she didn't tell the king, she didn't let nobody know she was an Israelite, what nation she was from. But she rose up to be a queen. Now, read verse 8, we can see. Well, when she rose up to be a queen, it was an Edomite who came up against, who wanted to destroy the nation of Israel. At this time, this is the kingdom of the Medes and the Persians, the East Indians. They had rulership then. The children of Israel was at this time, it was a fraction of them was enslaved there. This is the time when they was enslaved to meet the Medes and the Persians. This is the Southern Kingdom that was enslaved. From that 7 years of Babylon, from 70 years, when they were taken out of Jerusalem from the Southern Kingdom. She was enslaved under the Medes and Persians at this time. So read 8 verse 3 so we can find out about the Edomite who was coming up against them.
Esther 3:8. And Haman said unto King Ahasuerus, there is a certain people scattered abroad and dispersed among the people in all the provinces of thy kingdom, and their laws are diverse from all people. Now they keep.
Read it again. There's a certain people dispersed among the people. Read it.
And Haman said to the king Ahasuerus, there is a certain people scattered abroad and dispersed among the people in all the provinces of thy kingdom, and their laws are diverse for all people.
Their laws are diverse. That means the Most High people follow his laws. The Most High of people don't follow the laws of the land. Right here, he's letting the king know he's identifying the children of Israel. Their laws are diverse from all the other laws. Start read that over again. Read through. Go ahead and read it through. But this is showing you that the people, this Edomite didn't like the fact that the children of Israel follow the Most High laws. The Gentiles don't like the fact we follow the Most High laws. Read.
Esther chapter 3, verse 8. And Haman said unto King Ahasuerus, there is a certain people scattered abroad and dispersed among the people in all the provinces of the king. And their laws are diverse from all people. Neither keep they the king's laws. Therefore, it is not for the king's profit to suffer them. If it please the king, let it be written that they may be destroyed. And I will pay 10,000 talents of silver to the hands of those that have been that have the charge of the business to bring it to the king's treasuries. Verse 10. And the king took his ring from his hand and gave it unto Haman, the son of Amittai, the Agagite, the Jews' enemy. And the king said unto Haman, the silver is given to thee, the people also to do with them as it seemeth good to thee. Then were the king's scribes called on the 13th day of the first month, and there was written according to all that Haman had commanded unto the king's lieutenants, and to the governors that were over every province, and to the rulers of every people of every province according to the writing thereof, and to every people after their language, and the name of King Ahasuerus was given and sealed with the king's ring, and the letters were sent by post into all the king's provinces, to destroy, to kill, and to cause to perish all Jews, both young and old, little children and women, and one day, even upon the 13th day of the 12th month, which is the month of Adar, and to take the spoil of them for a prey.
Okay. I need you to go right back to the part, because this is an Edomite Haman. I need to read right back at the part where it said destroy. Destroy and kill who? You're going to give a straight identifying exactly who this man wanted to destroy, who he wanted to kill. Read.
Esther chapter 3, verse 13. And the letters were sent by post to the king's provinces to destroy, to kill, and to cause to perish all Jews, both young and old, little children and women, in one day, even upon the 13th day of the 12th month, which is the month
okay,
of the dog.
I need you to read that one more time because it's linking straight up with the king's Alfred plan when we had read where it said the minority, 23 million of the minority, men, women, children, once this emergency, once they go into play, they're going to finally get rid of us. Been wanting this was empire to empire. They've been trying to destroy us. Read that again.
Esther chapter 3, verse 13. And the letters were sent by post into the king, into all the king's provinces, to destroy, to kill, and to cause to perish all Jews, both young and old, little children and women, in one day.
In one day. So let's go to Esther 4, verse 15 and 16, showing he's gonna find out what the queen is gonna find out what the vice plan these people have for her people. Yeah, remember she's the queen now. She's the queen. She's not going to sit back and watch her people get destroyed. That's the 4, verse 15 and 16.
Esther chapter 4, verse 13. Then Esther bade them return Mordecai this answer. Go gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan, and fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days, nor 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise. And so will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law. And if I perish, I perish.
Because what she's saying here, when she found out what the Edomite had planned for her people, now she had to go amongst the king. But she couldn't just walk inside where the king was. She had to find favor in the king's eyes. Because this king was so strict, you just couldn't walk in there on him. Because when he see you, he had to point the scepter at you to let you come in. So that's why she said she might perish trying to go to the king for her people. Read that again. Read 15 and 16 again. They'll get a better understanding. She put her life on the line. She's going to go to among the king and talk to the king. To let the king know what she has on her heart. Now, read.
Esther chapter 4, verse 16. Go gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan, and fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise, and so will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law. And if I perish, I perish.
So grab all the Jews, that's our people, and y'all fast for me. And I'm going to grab all my maidservants and going to fast, because I'm going to step to this king. And I'm going to do this for my people. But if I die, so be it. Read 5, verse 2.
Esther chapter 5, verse 2. And it was so, when the king saw Esther, the queen, standing in the court, that she obtained favor in his sight. And the king held out to Esther the golden scepter that was in his hand. So Esther drew near and touched the top of the scepter. Then said the king unto her, what wilt thou, Queen Esther? And what is thy request? It shall be given thee to the half of the kingdom.
Okay.
Esther. Okay.
Okay. Right here, this is going to be very interesting. Because right here, she told her people she would put her life on the line to go holler at the king. In the law world, the king had to have favor to let you in. But if he see you and then call for you, then ask for you to come, you could die. Now, right here, it's showing that the king seen you and had favor. But you need the apocryphal to understand exactly how that went down. Because when the king first seen her, he was mad. He was hot. So this is going to show you, and this is for all newcomers. Anybody who's listening, who's not familiar with the scriptures, you need the apocryphal. You need Esther chapter 15. Now, if you're looking in your Bible, it only stops at chapter 10, verse 3. Look at your Bible when you get a chance and wonder, how come it stopped at chapter 10, verse 3? Because you need the apocryphal. Now, we finna get the apocryphal, and we finna read Esther 15, verse 6, 6 through 12, and we're going to get an understanding on how the king felt when he seen her. Because chapter 5, verse 2, saying he seen her and had favor. But he didn't have favor like that when he first seen her. She had to have help from somewhere. And let's see where that help came from. Just like you got to have help to have full understanding, you got to have the full Bible. By you having Esther 10, verse 3, you need verse 4 and so on and so on. So that's showing you, you need the apocrypha. You need the whole Bible. So let's read Esther 15, verse particle for. That is showing you, is showing you that you don't have a whole full Bible. You need the Apocrypha. You need the King James 16:11 that has the Apocrypha in it. Now, let's read Esther 15, verse 6 through 12.
Esther chapter 15, verse 6. Then, having passed through all the doors, she stood before the king, who sat upon his royal throne and was clothed with all his robes of majesty, all glittering with gold and precious stones. And he was very dreadful. Then lifting up his countenance that shone with majesty, he looked very fiercely upon her. And the queen fell down and was pale and fainted and bowed herself upon the head of the maid that went before her. Then God changed the spirit of the king into mildness, who in a fear leaped from his throne and took her in his arms till she came to herself again and comforted her.
Okay. Go back and read again who changed his countenance.
This is Esther chapter 15, verse 8. Then God changed the spirit of the king into mildness, who in a fear leaped from his throne and took her in his arms till she came to herself again and comforted her with loving words and said unto her, Esther, what is the matter? I am thy brother. Be of good cheer. Verse 10. Go ahead.
Keep going.
Verse 10, thou shalt not die, though our commandment be general, come near. And so he helped us, and so he helped up his golden scepter and laid it upon her neck and embraced her and said, speak unto me.
So this is showing you that if you just got the Bible, you don't have everything. You need the Apocrypha. The Tanakh is the book of prophets. The Torah is the first five books of Moses. You need the first five books of Moses, which is when the Most High gave Moses. Told Moses how the heavens, the earth, how everything was created, how everything about the things that happened in the earth before he came, like the angels coming down, the flood, all those things was told to Moses, and he jotted it down because it's the records for his people. Those are the records he gave his people when he brought them out of Egypt. He also was given the understanding to take to the children of Israel how to conduct themselves, the moral laws, and also the dietary laws and how to function among each other inside Israel and how to be diverse from the other nations. And also there was a representation of the heavens. The children of Israel, the way they function is a mirror of the heavens. That was through Moses, giving Moses to take to the children of Israel when they were brought out of slavery, because they didn't know the Most High, because they was in a pagan land among pagan rulers that ruled over them grievously. Moses gave Moses understanding to take to them, this is how I want you to function. So that's what the laws was. Then you come to the book of the Tanakh, which are the book of the prophets. That's why his name is Ahio. If everything he say come to pass. If you don't understand the book, if you don't understand the prophets, if you don't understand the things that the Most High say shall come to pass, you don't understand the sign of the times. Just when the movie right into the Apocrypha. You have to have those hidden books. And then we come into the New Testament when Christ walked the earth and brought righteousness. Your righteousness towards the law. be judged with righteousness. So, get out there, Father, because you don't have the full totality of the Bible. So, the Most High help, the Most High help, helps them. Right? Now, let's go to Esther 7, verse 3. And read 3 through 10. So we can get, now we finna see when she wouldn't have told the king what's going on. We finna see after when she went in there and talked to the king. Let's go to 7 verse 3 and see what happened.
Esther chapter 7 verse 3. Then Esther, the queen, answered and said, "If I have found favor in thy sight, O king, and if it please the king, let my life be given me at my petition and my people at my request. For we are sold, I and my people, to be destroyed, to be slain, and to perish. But if we had been sold for bond men and bond women, I had held my tongue, although the enemy could not countervail the king's advantage." Then the king Ahasuerus answered and said unto Esther, The queen, who is he? And where is he that durst presume in his heart to do so? And Esther said, the adversary and enemy is this wicked Haman. Then Haman was afraid before the king and the queen. And the king, arising from the banquet of wine, his wrath, went unto the into the palace garden, and Haman stood up to make request for his life to Esther the queen, for he saw that there was evil determined against him by the king. Then the king returned out of the palace garden into the place of the banquet of wine, and Haman was fallen upon the bed where Esther was. Then said the king, "Will he force the queen also before me in the house?" As the word went out of the king's mouth, they covered Haman's face, and Harbona, one of the chamberlains, said before the king, "Behold also the gallows 50 cubits high, which Haman had made for Mordecai, who had spoken good for the king, standeth in the house of Haman." Then the king said, "Hang him thereon." So they hanged Haman on the gallows that he had prepared for Mordecai. Then was the king's wrath pacified.
Okay. Now, we finna end this with this last scripture showing that the Most High do work with women all the way around, righteous women. The sisters, over and over and over, I hear sisters, "Oh, the Most High don't work with us. He don't deal with us. Or what's our, where our place at in the kingdom?" When I read the scriptures, I read so many sisters the Most High working with. And the Most High working with a lot of you sisters. You just have to stay patient and just keep up the good work. You know, but you have to put away that thinking that the Most High not dealing with you because you feel He only dealing with men. We read right here all the women the Most High dealt with through Esther, a holy day was decreed. When we celebrate Purim, that was through Esther. So you supposed to keep the good work up. And quit questioning, is the Most High working with you? The question is, are you working with the Most High? Read 9, verse 26 through 28. We can show that the Most High decreed Purim, which is like Christmas, where today you people giving each other gifts and all this in the name of Satan, fail and understand that Satan's day, that's not That's not no holy day decreed from the Most High. This is what we're supposed to pass gifts. Read 9, verse 26.
Esther chapter 9, verse 26. Wherefore they call these days Purim, after the name of Pur. Therefore, for all the words of this letter and of that which they had seen concerning this matter and which had come unto them, the Jews ordained and took upon them and upon their seed and upon all such as joined themselves unto them, so as it should not fail, that they would keep these 2 days according to their writing and according to their appointed time every year, and that these days should be remembered and kept throughout every generation, every family, every province, and every city, and that these days of Purim should not fail from among the Jews, nor the memorial of them perish from their seed.
So, Purim is, we're supposed to pass gifts among each other. For how many days, brother?
2 days.
For 2 days, we pass gifts among each other in celebration, in remembering the Most High, granting Esther to save us. So, you gotta understand, Eve is the mother of all living. The woman was the first to bring in the first creation on earth.